Well, we have gathered here today to remember the life of Barbara Kukuk Brandon. My name is Steve Brandon, and I am her son, and you can pray for me as I try to get through just honoring her and honoring the family and seeing God exalted in our time together. Mom and Dad had two sons. I'm the better looking one, but Stu's the better basketball player. And they had three daughters. And so, in fact, what I want to do is I want to have all of you stand up. My siblings, stand up. This is not an applause mode. This is not an applause mode, okay? And Dad, why don't you stand up too? This is our family. All seven of us. You can look around, Dad, all your friends. We have fond memories of playing together, of eating together, of arguing with each other, and living a normal life. And we don't know how much we're blessed. All of us have married, and so I want you to stand up. If you're married to a Brandon, why don't you stand up? Okay? Dad, you can stand up too, right? So I just want to make a point here, and you can stay. Sue, everyone stands up. Everyone stands up. That's just the idea here. And so counting Mom, that's 12 of us. And if you're a grandchild, can you stand up as well? There are 22 grandchildren. I think 20 of them are here today. If you are married to a grandchild, can you stand up? You're good. So by my count, that's putting us 47, maybe, something like that. Okay, so some of the grandchildren have children, right? Would the great-grandchildren stand up or maybe be held up? So if you count, we're missing two grandchildren, but we're not missing any great-grandchildren, and so I think that number's 72 of us, Mom included. And it's really just a sign of God's blessing on our lives. So you may be seated. So my dad has often said, I just don't quite know how all this has happened. Well, we could explain that physically, all right? But Psalm 128 explains it spiritually. Psalm 128 reads this: "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands, and you shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." And Mom and Dad feared the Lord. And they have been blessed. They sought to walk in his ways. My dad still is. And you children know that. You saw how they lived. You saw what they placed their trust in. You heard the words that they spoke. You saw the choices they made. You've seen their priorities, how they spent their time, how they spent their finances. You've seen how they feared the Lord, and the Lord has blessed them greatly. We children got a front row seat. You married got a more of a front row seat. You grandchildren got sort of a back row seat, and maybe the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren are getting over. I see, as we used to say in our station wagon, there was the back, and then there was the way, way back is where the grandchildren are. But you all know of the integrity of Mom and Dad. They fear the Lord, they have sought to walk his ways. It's really an admonition to all you grandchildren to think of the blessing that God has been to our lives. And God has blessed us greatly, a family of 72. Not mean, that doesn't mean every great big family is a blessing of the Lord, but this is, according to Psalm 128. And the Lord's been so good to us, to give us a good mother, and a good grandmother, and a good great-grandmother. And I'm sure you all have good memories of her. We're going to have several family members share later in the service. But my memories of mom is that she was always supportive. Just thinking way back, I remember going to a church camp one time. I got a letter every day from my mom. It's kind of mail time, and then Steve gets a letter. That's really nice. I remembered her efforts to see that I got to basketball camp at NIU. Just paid dividends in the future. I still couldn't beat Stu, but it was good. I remember how she attended many of my games. I'm not trying to diss on you, Stu. She attended every single one of Stu's high school games and college games, and I had more games, but she attended them faithfully. I remember heading off to seminary, and she carefully crafted a little book for me, a cookbook of all the favorite recipes, so that I could have food just like home when I was in seminary. Not like I ever used that cookbook at all. I was a single guy. I remember starting Kishwaukee Bible Church, and just last night, as we had people go through the reception line, how many of them talked about, first time I came to church, your parents had us in their house. Like, a common testimony. It made an impact upon many. And I remember when we started Rock Valley Bible Church, they were committed to us up in Rockford. And they couldn't have people at their house anymore because it was a distance away. But many first-time visitors, they took out to lunch. And that made an impact upon many. And it's just a taste of the small ways that mom supported me and supported all, just being a mom. That's what moms do. But above all, I think one of the things that I will remember most about my mother is her decline. Not so much her decline, but more her disposition in her decline. For about the past decade, she's declined. She declined physically, mentally she declined. Dad cared for her greatly through those times. But one of the things that really struck me was how content she was and how happy she became. When people get old, sometimes they get cranky. Maybe you have a relative like that who's a kind of cranky old. But mom, when she aged, she got happier. And happier. She lived the good life because as she declined, she didn't have a care in the world. Dad, you cooked for her. You cleaned for her. You did laundry for her. Of course she was happy. And I remember someone sharing with me, people get older and they lose their social inhibitions. What's inside comes out. And I think that's true of mom. Not that she was good, but the Christ was in her. And so it was an opportunity that as she declined, Christ came out in her. So the Lord's been good to all of us to see this. Further, I think the Lord's been good to us in the way that she passed away. She declined slowly over the past decade, slowly before our eyes, allowing us time to let go. As her memory failed, she died slowly to us, which just helps us this day. Then the Lord gave us the past 15 months. She had a stroke. We thought she was going to pass away a year ago. But the Lord was good. He gave us 15 months to say goodbye to her. I'm very happy that for 15 months I've been able to come down to DeKalb every week. Wednesdays or Thursdays, spring dinner, have dinner with Dad. Mom was there. She didn't talk much. Then when she stopped drinking water, we knew the time was near. Had a conversation with Dad. I quoted John 13:1 to him. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. To the end. He loved them, telos. Which means to the end. It means completely. It means perfectly. It means without regret. And I told Dad, that's how you fall in love. You loved her to the end without regret. And Brandon, family. Not only has mom and dad been an example before us of a couple who fears the Lord. But Grandpa's an example of what it means that Christ loved the church. He gave himself for the church. Dad gave himself to Mom. Just like Christ gave himself for the church. Jesus loved us by dying for us. And what a picture we have seen, grandchildren, before us. To see Ephesians 5, not just on a paper, but in real life. That's why we can come this morning with thanks to God. Because Mom will stand before the Lord, has stood before the Lord, absent of the body is present with the Lord. Not based on her own righteousness, but based on the righteousness of Christ. She trusted in Christ with whole heart. Christ died for her sins. Sue's going to come up and read the obituary.
So Steve asked me to read the obituary, and I said I will, but can I embellish? So he said yes. And most of you have probably read the obituary in the paper, so I'm just choosing a general outline and embellish it. So my mom was 89 years old when she went to see Jesus. My dad, Sally, and I were with her when she died peacefully Sunday morning. After she took her last breath, the three of us looked at each other and wondering whether it would be her last, because there were a couple gasps, and we heard "It Is Well With My Soul" playing on the radio, and we knew that it was. It is well with her soul, and it is well with our soul. Mom was born Barbara Ann Kukuk in Kankakee, Illinois. Her parents were Margaret Sauer Kukuk and Francis Raymond Kukuk. They lived on a farm, and as a little girl, she helped with the chores, she cared for the chickens, and she worked in the garden. She also drove trucks and tractors. She was a farm girl. She went to a local one-room family school, and then attended Hersher High School, where, among other things, she was a cheerleader. Then she went to North Central College in pre-nursing for 2 years, where she was also a cheerleader. And then went to Presbyterian St. Luke's Hospital in Chicago for nursing and obtained her bachelor in nursing in 1958. She and my dad, Stanley Dean Brandon, were married on June 21st, 1959, which also happened to be Father's Day, her mother's birthday, and the first day of summer. She then went on to work as a nursing instructor in the School of Nursing, while Dad finished medical school. When I was born, she left the hospital and became a full-time mother and homemaker. She was always there for us when we got home from our activities, and she attended nearly all of our sporting events or other activities. I think she missed one of my gymnastics meets from the time that she attended all of Stu's basketball games. She missed one of mine, and that was the day that they were moving to a new house. Mom was creative and accomplished. Her obituary said that she enjoyed painting and pottery and knitting and calligraphy, but there was so much more. She sewed and she cross-stitched and she did macrame and she made rugs and candles and did silkscreen printing. When my sisters and I were in 4-H, she taught us all of these things and worked alongside of us and patiently ripped out seams so that we could re-sew a straighter seam. She picked up stitches when we dropped stitches. She sewed elastic into Sally's swimsuit. You can ask her that story. And she always gently offered a creative eye to anything we were doing. When Dad wanted to learn how to fly, she did too. So she exceeded him in her written exam score and in her number of pilot ratings she had. My brother Stu, I remember, was often buckled into the back seat of the plane while Mom had her lesson. She worked as a volunteer buyer for the hospital gift shop for more than a decade I remember being invited to go on buying trips and to the gift show with her. Mom was a leader at Bible Study Fellowship for many years. She carpooled from this area to Crystal Lake and Batavia before they opened a class in Sycamore. When Emily was old enough to participate in the children's program, she retired from leadership, and she babysat our children so that our children who were old enough could go. Mom and Dad loved hosting people in their home, as Steve alluded to. Mom was an excellent cook, as evidenced by her many cookbooks. She made for years most of their own bread, even grinding the wheat. She enjoyed giving gifts to others. For many years, she cross-stitched name tags for babies' diaper bags. All the babies who were born at church, she got little name tags for their diaper bags. And many of us, family and friends and babies, have been gifted sweaters that she knit. She was a member of Kishwaukee Bible Church and then the church in DeKalb. My mom and dad were married for 65 years. Mom loved and served Dad well through their entire marriage. Theirs was a true partnership. She wasn't perfect, but she was Mom. Mom leaves a legacy of 5 children, 22 grandchildren, 25 great-grandchildren.
So far.
We'll miss her, but we'll see her again in heaven. And we can confidently say that because of her faith in Jesus Christ, her Lord and Savior.
You can turn in your program. We're going to sing together Solid Rock.
Things on this podium that I'm not exactly familiar with, but welcome everybody. And I just want you to know that, and our kids know, that I'm always giving advice. And there's none of them that haven't heard a little bit now and then, and so I thank you for what has been said so far, and we're going to have some more testimony, and we're going to have some more fellowship, and I just appreciate all you folks that have come and are here. It's both a sad and a happy time, and I hope I can get through this. A small part of the eulogy I want to give is I'm going to read a portion of Proverbs 31, and Barb certainly fulfilled this. But I'm going to make a charge to all the men here, to their wives. Do something special frequently. For instance, right here is a piece of paper that has a cartoon on it, and it's one of many that are hanging in our bathroom. This one happens to be dated June 21, 2018, and that happened to be a date of our 59th wedding anniversary, but it has several things on here, and among others, how many of you know the cartoon Pickles? Or you're too young, everybody's here too young. But there's a guy named Pickles, and Pickles is an old man, and he's sitting under a tree talking to his grandson, and he says, you know what gets my goat? He says, when certain people don't give you any credit for the things you do. Like, and then he says, like when Grandpa says, I don't help out around the house. Well, Grandma says that. And he says, oh, that's not true. And he said, why, just yesterday, I moved the dirty clothes basket from the bedroom to the laundry room. And the little boy says, I hope you can get a goat sometime, Grandpa. Maybe you need to see it to appreciate it. But anyway, I would leave little messages at various times, and sometimes on anniversaries, but sometimes just something that struck me. And this one happens to say, Barb, how do I love thee? I thank you for being my wife for these past 59 years. Thank you for loving me when things were hard. And thank you for washing my clothes. And for cooking my meals. And thank you for bearing and caring for our children. And may I love you always to the end. And husbands, it says about husbands in Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so also, we are to love our wives as our own bodies. And I think that there was a poet, ultimately they were husband and wife, but how many know of Elizabeth Browning, or Elizabeth Barrett Browning and Robert Browning? But she wrote a sonnet, and it says, and that's included in this hanging on the mirror. It says, how do I love thee? Well, let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height that my soul can reach when feeling out of sight and from the ends of being and ideal grace. And I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. And I love thee freely, a man, as men strive for right. I love thee purely, as they turn from praise. And I love thee with the passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood faith. And I love thee with a love that's that I seem to lose with my lost saints, that I love thee with the breath, smile, and tears, and all of life. And if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death. So, husbands, remember your wives. Do something special. Maybe today. Maybe today isn't the day, but something so that she sees that you love it, and let it hang there. How many of you men have told your wife you love them today? Hand up. Anyone? Okay, don't let a day pass but what you say, I love you. And you say that gets to be a bit monotonous and routine. Well, maybe it does. Barb was special. And I'm going to read a portion of Proverbs 31, which, as Sue has alluded to, as some of her accomplishments, as Steve has alluded to, as the others will be talking about as well. But what does Proverbs 31 say? And as those of you who happen to know her, you will appreciate that maybe something doesn't exactly speak to her, but many things sound just like Barb. So this is the description of a worthy woman. It says, an excellent wife, who can find her? For her worth is far above jewels, and the heart of her husband trusts her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And she looks for wool, and she looks for linen, and she works with her hands and in delight. And so how many times have our direct family, maybe some others, seen her looking for wool and looking for yarn and looking for... She did sewing as well. We don't have an example here, but even when she made her wedding dress with a little old portable sewing machine, which isn't fancy, and it just went forward and back, and that's all it did. But she made her wedding dress. So, so she works, it says she looks for wool and for linen and works with her hands in delight, and she is like a merchant ship, and she brings her food from afar. Well, I don't know that. She did go to the grocery store, and she did various times pick out something special, but she did that as well. And she rises while it is still night, and she gives food to her household and portions to her attendants, and she considers a field and buys it, and from her earnings she planted a vineyard. And I don't know that exactly applies, but she occasionally did help in the garden as well. Mostly that was my job. And the gardener isn't so good at our house anymore. I don't know what's happened. I just let God take care of it and what grows, and I don't fertilize it, and I don't put weed killer on it. I'm not trying to win any special rewards, but I don't have to mow as often since I don't fertilize. So she surrounds her waist with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her profit is good, and her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. And exactly what the distaff is, I'm not sure, but I think it had something to do with making yarn. And although she didn't exactly make yarn, she certainly would roll it up in balls, and she used lots of balls of yarn through the course of her life. She extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. And we have a picture somewhere embedded in our albums, which I have no idea where they are. Does anybody here have a problem with knowing where all the pictures are? Well, anyway, there's a picture of her in shorts shoveling snow. mostly in later years, she that was not her job. Anyway, she makes coverings for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. And her husband is known in the gates. And when he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. And strength and dignity are her clothing. And she smiles at the future. And I think she smiles. She smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. You know, and I just yesterday got a call from a man named Frank Malarczyk, who is well down in Florida right now. And he said, you know, he remembered, he was one that was our accountant when I was in practice in orthopedic surgery. And he said, you know, I remember, he said, I read the obituary, but it doesn't include anything about her bread baking. And he said that there was one time that he specifically remembers that she had just taken some loaves out of the oven just as he was leaving, and he gave her a loaf. He said he put it on the seat beside him, and it was half gone by the time he got home. And we all remember that she made bread. Her children rise up and bless her, and her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. So charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her work praise her in the gates. Thank you.
Hello. I'm Wes. I'm the oldest grandson and fellow pilot. When I think of grandma, I think of sweetness, gentleness, patience. Many memories of us, my brothers and I, sitting in the family room doing, you know, all manner of little boy things. And grandma would just be patiently and calmly sitting there in the corner, probably knitting a Christmas stocking, which are legendary. Just watching it all and taking it all in. And you knock books off the shelf, not a big deal. Sweetness, though. So my children, Edie and Mai-Mai, have been asking me for stories of, you know, when I was growing up. And so recently I've been telling stories about grandma. And one that came to mind is that she always had chocolate chip cookies in the pantry. Yep. We all remember sneaking some chocolate chip cookies in the pantry when we knew we weren't supposed to. But there was always more. Never ran out of chocolate chip cookies. There's another, probably one of the funniest memories I have of grandma is, I don't remember the exact circumstances. We were on a road trip with grandma and grandpa at some point and my family, and we had recently had lunch and were at a grocery store with a giant tub of ice cream sitting on the curb eating from some plastic spoons. And I don't remember who it was, I'm guessing it was my mom, said, you know, as we were about to polish off the entire tub of ice cream just amongst the nine of us or however many, she said, you know, ice cream isn't really that good for you. And without missing a beat, Grandma snapped right there and said, no, ice cream is good for you. And I think that kind of just sums it up, right? She was able to savor the sweetest parts of life. So, we'll miss her.
Hi, I'm Morgan. I'm the youngest granddaughter. And I would just like to take a moment to honor Grandma. Anyone who knew her knew how deeply she loved Jesus, and she lived that out in everything she did. She In her last few years, she got so sweet and tender. And when speaking became difficult, she found other ways to express her heart. She became gentle and affectionate, always reaching out to hold my hand. And in those quiet moments, she didn't need to say anything. Just being with her said it all. It's hard to explain the impact that Grandma had on my life, not because it was small, but because it was constant. She was always there, steadily, lovingly present. I'm especially grateful for the summer of 2023, when I got to spend 2 days a week helping care for Grandma. That is a time that I'm grateful for, and it was a gift. I'm so thankful for her quiet faithfulness, her warmth, and the way she showed love in such simple, everyday ways. And while I miss her, I rejoice that she is with Jesus, whole, joyful, and in the perfect body that he made for her.
I am neither a grandson or a granddaughter, but my name is Connor Frith. I'm married into the Brandon clan, and my situation is a little unique because, due to a long story, I didn't really have grandparents growing up. But since the time I was 3 years old, my family was introduced to Dr. Brandon and Mrs. Brandon, and they became my honorary adoptive grandparents. And this was long before I knew I would even marry into their family. But we would be at their house. We slept over at their Arizona house often. They would come over for dinner, and Mrs. Brandon was always constantly telling jokes. She was always being the loving grandmother that I always wanted. And so I'm forever grateful for that. And life happened. About 10 years passed since the last time I saw her till I moved here to Illinois. And her situation had progressed. But the one thing that I will always remember is that she always remembered my face. And for those that know, that knew her in the last couple years, her memory was sometimes spotty, and but she would always say, I know you. And for someone who didn't really have grandparents in his life, that is something I'm always going to cherish and remember. Because, yeah, I just didn't have that. So I feel like that was God kind of giving me that gift through her, and I'm grateful for that. This morning when I was reading my Bible, I quickly flipped through the Psalms, and one Psalm that I landed on was Psalm 42, and it says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" As a believer, that is our longing, is to see God face to face. And it does my heart a lot of joy that that's where she is right now. She is before God and seeing him face to face. And we are all very jealous of that. So, thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Claire Woodhouse. I'm also married into the Brandon Woodhouse clan. I've known Grandma for 13 years. The word that comes to mind when I think of Grandma is sweet. I know that word has already been mentioned here. But just a sweet demeanor, just sweet and content. I know I never heard her utter a word of complaint in my life. But I think the thing I'll remember most about Grandma is just her sweet smile. And it wasn't the smile just on the outside. It was a smile that, when you looked at her, made eye contact with her, that smile that made you feel so cared for and loved. And even when, like the last couple of months when we'd go visit her, we'd walk up to her bed, kind of like this, with a child in arms. I'd make eye contact with Grandma, and then she would just give me that sweetest smile, even when she didn't know who I was. And I think that's just such a testament of just her character and just Jesus shining through her so beautifully. And I'm just so comforted. I think all of us are so comforted knowing that she is up in heaven right now giving the biggest smile, and she will just always smile. And we can't wait to see her again there.
Hello, I am Haley Marlowe, daughter of Sue, and the third grandchild. I just wrote some things about Grandma. Growing up, we lived just 6 blocks away from my grandparents. My siblings and I got to know them very well because of that. Many, if not most, of my earliest childhood memories take place with my grandma in their home. We would walk over or ride our bikes to Gifford Street nearly every day, sometimes multiple times a day. As a mother now myself, I'm nearly certain this was both my own mom's way of fostering a sense of independence in us, as well as a little joy of getting a break in the middle of the day, knowing that your children are well-loved and cared for by their grandparents. And love us, she did. Grandma, she delighted in her family. But more importantly, she delighted in her faith in the Lord. She strove to honor God in all things and to live in a way that was pleasing to him, a life lived full of grace and full of love. I don't remember a single time where Grandma would turn us away if we showed up unannounced at her doorstep, no matter how busy she may have been. Some days she just let us play quietly around her while she got things done, but honestly, more often than not, she let us help her, even if it meant the work took 2 or 3 times as long. Grandma maintained a high standard for herself, for her home, and for those around her. She taught each of us the value of quality work and craftsmanship, of proper grammar. We all now know the correct use of the words I and me in a sentence. The art of cooking a really good meal, how to really deep clean your home. I'm talking, we gotta make sure every blind is meticulously dusted or it will be done again. The joy found in creating art, or the extra little joy of sneaking an extra piece of chocolate or two, and so much more. She loved us and taught us so well. I'd love to say that that was all her, but I know she would attribute it to her faith in the Lord and the grace she herself received. Even in her final years, when life was hard and immensely frustrating for her, she never wavered in her confidence in God and his goodness. I know we'll miss her, but we'll forever be grateful for the life that she lived and how much she loved us each and every day.
Hello, my name is Elise. I am also Sue's daughter, and I think I'm number 7 of 22. Thank you all for being here today to honor and remember a woman so deeply loved, Grandma B. Grandma B was a woman of strength, deep faith, and a heart big enough to hold us all. She loved the Lord with all of her soul, and it showed in the way she treated people, in the way she lived her life, and in the way she always seemed to have the right words at just the right time. Her faith wasn't just something she talked about, it was something she lived out every single day. Grandma's signature, love, involved a pair of knitting needles in her hands more often than not. I can see her sitting in her corner chair, yarn in her lap, hands moving like magic with the occasional, oh, for Pete's sake, when she realized she dropped a stitch and had to go back to find it and pick it up. Every sweater, every blanket, every little creation she made carried her warmth. Those stitches were full of love, patience, and care. That was her way of wrapping people in comfort even when she couldn't be there in person. And then there were the little moments, the ones that will live forever in my heart. One I'll never forget is what she took me to get my driver's license because my parents were with Emily in Michigan. She was right there by my side, cool, calm, and collective, probably more confident in me than I was in myself. After I passed the test, we celebrated in true grandma fashion with some ice cream. That was Grandma B through and through. She showed up, she supported you, she believed in you. Grandma didn't need a spotlight. She let her love speak for her in every meal she cooked, every prayer she whispered for us, every knitted gift she gave, and every hug that somehow made the world feel okay again. She was there, constant, comforting, and unwavering. Even now, as we say goodbye, I know she's exactly where she's always longed to be, in the presence of her Savior. And while we will miss her here deeply, we can take comfort in knowing that her faith has become her reality. Grandma B, thank you for your faith, your love, and your light. You were and always will be one of our greatest gifts in our lives. May your legacy live on in each and every one of us. We'll carry your spirit, your stories, and your strength with us always.
Until we meet again. Hi, my name is Sonia. I'm the fourth of the five, the youngest daughter. I think Mom went to all my gymnastics meets while I was at home, except for when she had back surgery. But she didn't come to but one when I was at Iowa State. But I get it. She had to go to Stu's games. And just for the record, Jeff and I had to schedule our wedding around the basketball schedule. Yes, Stu said he would not come if it was on the day of the basketball game. So we had the calendar and the schedule when we were deciding what day we were going to do. Anyway, I'm just going to talk to Mom. Say, Mom, when I think of your life, I think industrious, impactful, and graceful. As an industrious woman, you blessed others through the work of your hands and the use of your gifts and talents all the day, all your days until you were physically unable. You pursued excellence and mastery in all your endeavors. You have an impressive list of accomplishments. You have left us all with a piece of art to cherish. You were not a woman of many words, but you spoke clearly through your example. Thank you, Mom. You've left a legacy for so many to follow. You were impactful. You taught your children and many in the community practical skills and art, as we've talked about. You supported each of us children in our various endeavors. You showed us how to open your home to friends and strangers. You showed support, perseverance, and faithfulness. Your gifted talents of beauty to those around. And you had a quiet ministry to many who were hurting through your faithful creation of cards with scripture written beautifully, mailed to individuals week after week for as long as you were led to do so. Yesterday, I spoke to two people, one who has cherished these cards for decades and it still continues to minister to them, and another who said she framed the cards when she was going through her cancer journey and has shared them with many people, even across the country, to encourage them in their particular valley and pointing them to the Lord. Oswald Chambers, my utmost for his highest, on May 18th. The people who influence us most are not those who buttonhole us and talk to us, but those who live their lives like the stars in the heaven, the stars in heaven, and the lilies in the field, perfectly, simply, and unaffectedly. Those are the lives that mold us. If you want to be of use to God, get rightly related to Jesus Christ, and he will make you of use unconsciously every minute you live. Thank you, Mom, for your example of how to bear illness and physical challenges with grace. Since your stroke in 2016, you have been able to speak to us without a struggle. You bore all your physical challenges, whether back surgery, cancer, chemo, and your stroke, and even your physical decline and death with admirable grace. Thank you for your leading, your love, your guidance, and your graciousness. Thank you for showing me excellence, determination, and grit for the good of those around you. I love you. We all love you.
Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning. Hello, I am Sally Woodhouse. I am the second in the family. George Washington Carver said, "Do the common things in life in an uncommon way." And as I went into my parents' house today to find my mom's Bible that I will read from, I opened it up, and of course, she wrote her name in an uncommon way in the Bible. Something else about mom, people have talked about all the sweaters she knit, all her handcrafts. She told me that everything you make should have a mistake in it, because only God is perfect. So, my mother was a woman who loved and studied God's word. I remember walking into the kitchen in the morning and seeing my mom seated at the counter eating her Raisin Bran with her Bible open right next to her. Even if she wasn't still at the counter, her Bible was there open. As I've been going through my parents' house, I was in their office, and all the piles or the notebooks that she kept of all her time and of notes and Bible study fellowship, which was a part of her life for so many years. Last night, as I was visiting with some people, there was a woman who was telling me about the text string of all of the ladies who had been in a discussion group of my mother's, and just how they were sharing so many neat memories of my mother and how they impacted her by leading the Bible studies. When I was a little girl, I remember there had been a storm and there was a rainbow. And I remember being in the kitchen and asking my mother about the rainbow. And she took me to Exodus 6 through 9 and told me why there was a rainbow. There. Psalm 91, the one that I'm going to read, which my brother will give this message on, is based on a psalm that mom and dad memorized in preparation for a month-long medical mission trip to Egbe, Nigeria. And the words from verse 2 are etched on my mom's tombstone. So, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to my Lord, He is my refuge and my strength, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling place, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near you then, or come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
together it as well.
Ago that my parents purchased their burial plot in Fairview Cemetery, not far from here, just half a mile or so, and where we will bury Mom just after this service. You're all invited there. If you come and stay, I will speak very loudly, I promise. It'll be short. They chose a tombstone to match The graves of Dad's brother and his parents in Clinton, Illinois, a place where we used to go. When you have a brother die, we went there often. It looks just like that simple yet elegant tombstone. And on that tombstone, each of them decided to engrave a verse of Scripture. What verse would you engrave? My dad chose Psalm 37, verse 4, which reads, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." I'd love to expound that verse, but that's for another day. Mom chose Psalm 91, verse 2, which Sally read for us. "I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." I want you to think about that for a moment. As long as the earth stands, as long as her grave remains undisturbed, this will forever be my mother's testimony. "I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." She has set her testimony in stone, declared it for all the world to see. Whatever be remembered of my mother as people pass by her grave, it will be this: "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." And these are not mere words. I mean, people will often, like, say if they want to send condolences or to have some sort of spiritual card, well, maybe go to Walmart, look at that, and find a verse. "Oh, that sounds, I really like how that verse sounds. That's inspiring." Not so my mother. These are words of faith. These are words that my mom chose deliberately because they express the sentiment of her heart. This is her pledge that she would make the Lord her refuge. And this pledge didn't come out of nowhere. Sally shared how they made a medical missions trip to Africa. 2000, you remember that? 2002. 23 years ago. Before they went, they read a book. I forgot to bring it. I was going to hold it up at this moment, so pretend a book held up right here. Entitled Tread Upon the Lion, which tells the story of Tommy Titcomb, first missionary to live among the Yagba people in Nigeria, in West Africa, right where they were going. And the book used Psalm 91 as a guide. Like, every chapter took a verse or a phrase and then talked about the story of Tommy Titcomb's life and the adventures that he had there among the animist Africans there. And before Mom and Dad left on the trip, they memorized Psalm 91 together. Have you memorized a psalm before? Would encourage you. I've memorized Psalm 91. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence." God, I missed it now. "He will cover you with his pinions. And under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that waits at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Psalm 91 is dear in my heart because I've memorized it. I memorized it in part because it's on my mom's tombstone. And I have memorized Psalm 37 as well. It's on my dad's tombstone. If you want to challenge, I encourage you to memorize all 40 verses. Very difficult, very proverbial. But I've memorized this because it's Grandma's psalm. It's a psalm that she chose forever to be remembered by. The psalm is a psalm of promises of protection. Not sure if you just kind of remember some of the themes of that. Just how God has promised to protect those who dwell in the shelter of the Almighty. These promises span the gamut. Protection from disease, terrors at night, attacks by the day. Protection from the wicked, protection from fierce animals. This protection can come even in the form of angelic protection. But the last three verses is God's personal promise of protection. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. Think about this. When we say, right, I've made the Lord my refuge, this is what God promises back to us. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Just there's God protecting those who take their refuge in him. It's been called a soldier's psalm. It's been prayed many times by soldiers before entering into combat. In fact, the military, many in the military, begin bandanas with Psalm 91 printed on it. The soldier's psalm. As I said earlier, it's grandma's psalm. And of all the verses in the Bible that she chose for us to remember forever for her, it is this one. It's where the psalmist pledges. Say, I've made you my refuge. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God and whom I trust. This is grandma's pledge. She made the Lord her refuge. Now there are many who trust in themselves, trust in their own abilities, trust in their own strength, trust in their own intelligence, rather than trusting the Lord. This is the American way. Ingrained in our culture is this you can do it attitude. Just do it is Nike's slogan, but it is many people. I can do this. Our culture presses us to trust in ourselves and in our own power, but God's ways are different. He doesn't want us to trust in ourselves. He wants us to trust in him and find our refuge in him. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And the principle of the psalm is in the first verse. Verse 2 is what's on her tombstone. Verse 1 is the principle of the psalm. Verses 3 and following is all the protections that God has promised. Verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. If you dwell in God, you'll experience his protective care. He uses some imagery here. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. King James translates the shelter, the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of God, where the destroyer knows nothing about, his attack will be fury, will be futile. World War II days, it was common for those in Europe to have bomb shelters. When the enemy aircraft would begin to attack, air raid sirens would sound, and the civilians would race for their bomb shelters for protection. Made of corrugated iron and cement, buried deep in the ground, small enough to hold like 6 people, they waited for the attack to subside. And while deep in the ground, they were safe from the bombs that were being dropped overhead. That's a shelter. The shadow. He abides in the shelter of the Almighty will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Shadow is like a place of covering. One of the favorite places for us, Brandons, is California, where Vaughn grew up. Her in-laws are there. We've made vacations to there almost every summer of our married life. And the sun in California, there's something about the dry air. It's super intense. And when you get in the shadow, it's like relief from the intense heat. Not like Illinois. Like Illinois, it's the humidity around or something. There's different shade in California. And the Bible times, scriptures written in Israel is much like Los Angeles in terms of temperature. So that's the imagery that it had. Get out of the sun and you'll find relief. And that's God's protection. A safe place. A place of relief. From time to time we see this. I remember a couple years ago there was some wildfires out west in Washington, and there was this picture of this house, and the storm fires were coming across the forest, and there was this house. It's like, oh, it's gonna be devastated. And then there was another house with it black all the way around, except the house was safe. Like for some reason, some wind just right around the house was standing. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I've seen pictures of the aftermath of hurricanes in Florida. Entire neighborhoods wiped out, except the house is built hurricane-proof, standing upon the rock. And in your life, it's dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, you abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I remember a tornado touching down in Rockford, just north of Rockford. And there was a home, a family farm that was sort of devastated. And the Andersons lived on this farm and lost about 100 trees. They lost their barn, their garage, their building, but nothing on the house. These were a believing family, involved in their church. Several of their children are in ministry. They experienced God's protection upon their house. A picture of the one to whom promises of Psalm 91 are made. Are you abiding in the shelter of the Most High? Are you abiding under the shadow of the Almighty? That's the promise of protection. Now, there's a difficulty in the psalm, right? Is that not all who trust the Lord are so protected? Young children of believers still get cancer. Those who trust in the Lord still die in car accidents. Believers are still victims of crime. Followers of Christ die in war. It's not an absolute promise. But if you know the life of Jesus, he knew that it wasn't an absolute promise. It's like a proverb. This is a general saying. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, he's tempted by the devil. He says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written in Psalm 91, he will command his angels concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Satan took Psalm 91 as an absolute promise. He challenged Jesus to jump off the temple, and Jesus refused to take the bait. He said, again, it's written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You see what Jesus is doing? He's taking Psalm 91 and account of the whole scripture, not taking one verse or one psalm to the extreme. But I will say this, that it is a pattern of lives of those who are trusting the Lord will know the protection of God in their lives. That's what Psalm 91 speaks about. And Mom didn't escape every trouble in life. She had a lot. Breast cancer, I think it was 2006. Major back surgery. Colon cancer. A stroke in 2016. And then a stroke just a year ago. But she did experience the last promise of Psalm 91. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Mom lived a long life, 89 years. I think that's a long life. And the Lord showed her his salvation. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him, her, Mom, my salvation. She trusted in Christ, and Christ has cared for her. And I've alluded to already how Dad has given us a great example of what it means to trust in Christ. Trust in the one who's going to care for you. It's easy for my mom to trust in my dad's care because it was there and presence. It ought to be easy to trust in Christ because he has promised to care and care for you. Yesterday in the visitation, I spoke many times to those coming through the line of how Dad modeled Christ's love for the church for us. And then you saw my father's love for my mother, you'd know what I'm talking about. It's how Jesus cares for the church. That he gave himself for the church, died upon the cross for our sins. We might believe in him and know that care and protection that he provides. So I encourage you today, trust in Jesus. You see the blessing of Mom's life, Dad's life. I believe it's because they fear the Lord and God's been gracious to them. As we close up here, I just want to share that one of the common rituals that's taken place over the years. Many of you don't know this, but as we went down for dinners every week, and as Mom and Dad has put Mom to bed after her stroke since 2016, I'm not sure when exactly this bedtime ritual started, but we would put her to bed, and then we'd sing the gospel song. How long have you been doing that with her? At least 2+ years, and it's probably more than that. We took a trip to Arizona, and you were doing it back then, too. So at least 2 years, I would say 3 or 4 years. When you're bedbound with dementia like Mom is, it's like a child, tucking a child in bed, and you cared for her very well.
But she knew the words.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Though she couldn't speak, every time we started singing the gospel song, she started singing the gospel song. She sang, Holy God, and it's in your bulletin. You can look at it there. Holy God, in love became perfect man to bear my blame. On the cross, he took my sin. By his death, I live again. There's the gospel. That a holy God came down, lived a perfect life to bear our blame upon the cross, taking our sin. And by his death, I live again. Every night, for years, my mom, though she couldn't speak, knew these words and was reminded of these words every night as she sang these songs, the song. So we're going to close our service in singing that song. But in recent months has been added another song, just taking her back to her way childhood. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And she sang that song as well. And that's the great reality of the scriptures. She said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So she said goodbye to Grandma. Let's sing the song for her. One last time.
Each of you will open those scriptures daily and let them soak in. Let them be memorized, some of them. Father, we do thank you. We thank you all for coming. Let us go now and return to the earth. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Sure.
This does conclude our services here at the Peter Home. On behalf of Dr. Brandon and the Brandon family, we want to thank you all for being here today.